Friday, November 30th, 2005. It's Pinstripe Pulse, episode 32 on MySportsRadio.com.
A little bit of Bernie every night, a little bit of Paul O'Neill and Wright, a little bit of Tino's all we need, a little bit of Jeter, he's got speed, a little bit of Coney on the mound, a little bit of Rocket Mosel down, a little Mariano getting says, a little El Duque, beast of brain.
Yankees win! The Yankees win!
Welcome to another edition of Pinstripe Pulse. I'm your host, Denise Schramm. Thanks again, as always, for listening in. Of course, the avenues to get involved with the show, plenty and plenty. We've got the quick pick line, 206-202-PICK. We've got our message boards, Bang the Boards, the My Sports Radio message boards run on the website, mysportsradio.com. And then, of course, we have the email, anish@mysportsradio.com, anish@mysportsradio.com. Kudos to Sam Cooten, the man behind the man. He produces all the shows on MSR. And make sure you check them all out. Certainly for Yankee fans, this is a huge weekend. A huge weekend. It is the weekend for a generation of Yankee fans who may have been too young to remember Bucky Dent in 1978 or to remember the thrilling finish that David Halberstam beautifully chronicled in the summer of 49. This is our summer of 49. This is our October 1978. This is, to a generation of Yankee fans, another defining moment, because look at this Yankee-Red Sox rivalry, what it has escalated to in the last 3 years. Probably doesn't compare to another three-year span with these two teams entrenched in a rivalry as bitter as it is. You probably go back to the late 40s, to a time where the Red Sox and Yankees were fighting it out every year, and the games were this close, and, you know, we're really into trilogies, and you look at this weekend, you've got Roy Jones and Antonio Tarver fighting number three on Saturday, on the anniversary of Ali and Frazier, the thriller in Manila, which was their third fight. And now the third chapter in this Yankee-Red Sox trilogy that started with Aaron Boone, 2004, it was the Red Sox coming back from an abyss, down 3-0. It was the insurmountable obstacle against the unbeatable foe, and they finally reversed their fortune. And now it's part three, Yankees and Red Sox, and who knows, this may just be a precursor of something greater if Cleveland falls out and both teams get into the playoffs, but certainly it makes for great theater, great drama as we head into the final weekend of the baseball season.
This podcast is a production of My Sports Radio Network. Sports talk on demand at mysportsradio.com. Please direct inquiries to info@mysportsradio.com.
Both these teams are flawed. Both of them have suspect bullpen. Both of them had inconsistent starting pitching. Offensively, that's the strength of both teams. For the Yankees, it's been A-Rod, and then for the second half, really, Giambi and Sheffield. For the Red Sox, it's Ortiz and Ramirez. And Ortiz, the guy for a DH, continues to make a strong case for MVP. I still think A-Rod gets it because he plays the field, but Big Poppy, clutch hit after clutch hit after clutch hit. Something like 20 out of his 47 home runs have come in close and late situations. They've either tied or put the Red Sox ahead. If that's not an MVP, I don't know what is. But I think the DH will be held against him. And listen, A-Rod has played a gold glove third base for the second half this season. So they're both worthy of the award, but one guy just plays in the field. The other guy doesn't. But again, this series, you know, let's take a look at it from a historical standpoint. After what happened last year, there was a feeling in Red Sox Nation now that the inevitable is no longer misery. The inevitable is no longer countdown to gloom, but there is hope. There is a chance now. And for Yankee fans, they've wondered, has 86 years of everything going one way, everything going their way for the most part, has that all turned? And really what happens this weekend, let's say if the Yankees win 2 out of 3, they win the American League East, they go on to the playoffs, and let's say the Red Sox miss the playoffs, your Yankee fans will, you know, go on their high horse and say, well, we've returned things to being the way they used to be. Things are normal. And if Sox fans sweep the series or take 2 out of 3 and then win the playoff game, they'll be saying, listen, this is the new order in baseball. The Yankees are no longer the guys who just come in and beat us up like bullies. We're no longer just pushovers. People forget, in 1949, the way that season ended, the Yankees were down a game, going into the final two games of the year against the Red Sox, down 4-0 in that first game, came back to win, and then won the next day to win the division, which at the time also meant winning the pennant. And these two teams, I mean, this is a rich and storied rivalry, and I just feel that the energy behind it, I mean, just the jitters in my stomach getting ready for this game, it's unbelievable. This rivalry might be at its absolute peak. You've had two straight seven-game series in the ALCS. Now the Yankees have won the division every year since 1998, going up against this strong Red Sox team, the defending world champion. A lot of history on the line. The course of history, has reversed itself here. I'm not even going to try to guess what's going to happen this series. Randy Johnson pitched great, but Tim Wakefield's a Yankee killer. David Wells has had a so-so season, but he's made his money in this league. He's made his career for having a reputation as being a gamer, being a big-game pitcher. And I know Yankee fans are thinking, well, where was that in 2003 against the Florida Marlins when he asked out of the World Series game? But for the most part, here's a guy who's come to play and come to pitch in big games. Chin-Min Hwang, who surprised everybody by having the composure and cool of a veteran, yet he's still a rookie. Which Chin-Min Hwang will we see? Will it be the rookie who really hasn't surfaced all season? Will he finally get stage fright? Or will it be the rookie who pitches like a veteran who doesn't know what pressure is? I mean, Hwang reminds you a little bit of El Duque when he came up in 1998. Yeah, the guy was the rookie, but he didn't know what pressure was. Every big game, he pitched the Yankees, the biggest game of the year, down 2-1 to Cleveland in the ALCS. El Duque, in his first playoff start, pitched a gem of a game. So can you expect the same thing from Hwang? And then Sunday, I think on both sides, you just have no idea what to expect. Mike Mussina coming off one of his worst starts in 10 seasons. And Curt Schilling, let's put it this way. You know, the guy sacrificed a lot last year, and he's paying the price, and he's not the same pitcher he was from 2005.
Hey there, all you sports fans. If you've ever listened to our shows on MySportsRadio.com and thought, hey, I could do that, well, then you should become a podcaster here at MySportsRadio.com. Please contact Sam Kooten for further information. That's Sam at MySportsRadio.com.
So you ask yourself the question, what's going to happen? No one can predict this game, which is so great about it, but from a historical standpoint, this feels like the summer of 49. I've only read about it. I wasn't there. It's something new for me. The regular season having this much of an impact between these two teams, because you know, they've only met in the postseason three times, if you want to count the playoff game in 78. Okay, four times. So this takes on a whole new significance, because it used to be, you know, whoever was the bridesmaid, whoever didn't win the American League East, went back into the wild card, and it was the Red Sox the last 2 years. Not the case anymore. Cleveland is very much in it. They're tied with Boston for the wild card. They play a Chicago team in their final weekend of the season, a series that a lot of us thought would have significance, but the White Sox have admitted there's nothing to play for. So you don't think Ozzie Guillen's going to march Mark Burley out for eight innings tonight, do you? Meanwhile, Cleveland's got Kevin Millwood, who's got the best ERA in the American League. So the Indians have a very real chance of taking two out of three or even sweeping that series, because the White Sox, they're probably going to use this weekend to rest their starters, get ready for the playoffs, stock up their rotation, and get ready to do battle in the games that actually count, and the games that determine your survival or your extinction. Not the case for Cleveland. So I just say sit back, watch, enjoy. This is for a whole new generation. This is something that, you know, we've seen, and it's building up. And just when we thought it couldn't get any greater than last year, when the Sox finally won the World Series and came back from 3-0, or how we didn't think it could be topped from a year ago when Aaron Boone hit that magical walk-off home run off Tim Wakefield. This chapter, this rivalry continues to grow, and this is the trilogy, and it's a weekend of trilogy. Carver Jones, the anniversary of Ollie Frazier. Now you've got Yankees Red Sox. Couldn't be a more fitting epitaph for the 2005 baseball season. For Pinstripe Pulse, I'm Anish Shroff.